So this podcast episode is really long, but wild. We talk about everything. My guest is Sean, who's a credit repair expert, but like legitimately knows every hack and trick for credit repair, boosting your credit. I mean, even just like, he's just Mr. Hack Guy. I think he's like the guy, you know, when you and your friends talk, you're like, oh, just call the guy. He knows, that's Sean, like in Goodfellas, like, oh, just call the guy. That's Sean. So I hope you guys enjoy No Fronts Podcast. What's up, everyone? I have Sean here, who's a friend of mine now. I'll let Sean tell you. Sean, what do you do?
I fix credit and I remove out negative items. I also help people with good credit establish more credit, and pretty much the underlying basis is credit. You know, I could change someone's life around. I can make it where, you know, people are getting into homes, houses. You can imagine. I mean, where does credit take you? I also know a lot of hacks and tricks for travel.
Awesome. Yeah, so why don't we we'll circle back and just kind of start out with, like, where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
I was actually born in Fort Lauderdale, and at the age of 9, I moved out here to Los Angeles. I traveled back to Miami, spent some time inside New York as well. So, you know, I spent some time in all corners of the United States.
So do you go to high school here too?
I went to Santa Monica High School, yeah.
That's fucking crazy. My brother and two sisters went to SAMO.
Oh.
And we'll talk about that later because they're older and yeah. Anyways, so you went to SAMO, and then at what point did you kind of get into the whole credit thing?
At the age of 18, I started out. This is why I have so much experience with credit, is I've messed up my own credit so many times that I have experience fixing it.
Got it. So you started fixing credit at 18. So you had bad credit before you were even 18?
No, I had pretty good credit, but at the age of, like, I would say, you know, 18, I started out with my experience of credit. I got my Amex, I got a whole bunch of Capital One. I got a lot of credit, too much credit at one time. And it was a scenario, it was like, hey, you know, I looked into, how is this being reported? And how can I actually fix this whole process? So I went down the route and I hired, you know, a credit repair company. And, you know, I was young. So, you know, I was very ambitious in this whole process. And I got hired out for a credit repair company. And they hired me to work. And I learned all their basics and all their tricks and everything else. And I said, hey, let me perfect this art. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I have so many jobs inside my life. And right now, it's just a great situation because, you know, once you fix somebody's credit, you're pretty much tied into them.
Yeah.
And it's opened up a lot of doors.
I imagine it has, especially because, for example, somebody wants to get a car and they can't. And if you're the guy that can, like, in a small period of time, can somehow fix it quickly and make that happen, you're going to be someone's friend for life. Cause like, that's like those are those moments where, like, you just do whatever it takes, you know? So I'm sure you build good relationships.
Yeah. I've got people into cars, houses, even boats. Like, I mean, it's just a scenario. It's just like, whatever you want to do to, like, perfect it, you know, I'm your man for that. And I generally cut people off at 6 months. If I can't do something for them, I cut them off. Because there's no point in keeping you on there with monthly fees and stuff to that arrangement.
Yeah, totally. So wait, so you're 18. You get in. So have you done? Is that really primarily what you've done throughout? I mean, as your career for your whole life? Is that kind of like the thing
I wouldn't say it's my career as my life path. I've done so many different jobs. I mean, you know, most multimillionaires, they don't have one revenue stream. They have so many.
Of course.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg failed. He had all these other businesses, 10, 15 businesses he had before he made Facebook. Yeah. I don't know if this is my lifelong path, but, you know, I know credit like the back of my hand. It's something I could go to any country or any place. and I can work remotely. I don't need to be tied into a 9-to-5 office. So, and it gets me all the connections that I want. I mean, you know, I spent a couple of days at strip clubs. I'm going to be honest with you. The last, you know, last week I spent 3 days at strip clubs. And people were like, you know, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm working.
Oh, shit. Is that where you've gotten clients from?
Strippers are great because they pay you all up front. They don't want to deal with it. They know that, like, the stress of, like, people, you know, paying them and, like, giving them increments and dealing with, you know.
They just give you cash probably too.
I'm sure some of them are prostitutes. They don't want to deal with any mess. They're like, here's the money, do the job. Right. I don't want to hear from you until it's done. And, you know, it's Vegas also. So if I mess up my rep with one person, I'm screwed.
So, yeah, but that – and that's all – yeah, literally. But that's also, like, a really – that's a good little gap that I think you found. Like, that – Vegas, if you're, like, the credit guy for them, man, there's a lot you could probably do from that.
I'm known as the Spearman Rhino as the credit guy.
That's – really, really cool. I think anytime you have a business and, like, you find that little gap of customers that, like, kind of, I think a lot of people overthink or don't think about, not overthink, they don't even think about it, you know?
And most of them are, like, you know, strippers are very honest people. They're, like, very honest. They don't want to deal with any, like, repercussions. They don't want to deal with any problems. They're just, like, straight up about their business. They're like, hey, listen, my credit's messed up. And, you know, it always goes to some story that they want to explain. I'm like, I don't care. It comes back to, like, you know how crazy a housekeeper would get? If I explained, like, hey, pretend like I'm a housekeeper and I'm coming to clean your house. Like, do you explain to your housekeeper how the house got dirty or just, like, clean the mess?
I love that mentality, dude. That's, I mean, that while that might sound like obvious to you, and it does to me as well, I think that there's so many other people out there that they don't understand the mentality. Like, and I say this a lot, which is, like, whatever it is you do, like, do it right. You know what I mean? Like, be the, it's the other side of the spectrum. I know that wasn't really your point, but it just brings up, like, be the best in the world at whatever it is you do. Like,
of course, you know, I mean, I relate it out and people ask me, it's like, hey, can I fix my own credit? I'm like, absolutely. Anybody can fix their credit. It's just, you have to understand the mentality is there's a lot of jobs you could do. You could put, you know, you could paint your own nails. You could fix your own brakes. You could wash your own car. You could even, you know, if you're accused of murder, you could even represent yourself in a murder case.
Of course.
But the chances are that, like, you don't want to do that. I mean, who wants to represent themselves in a murder case? Honestly.
There's a reason. Seth Godin, I don't know if you've ever listened to him, and I don't really, like, refer people or, like, reference, especially, like, in the culture of today of business and entrepreneurship. Like, I see enough of it on social media. So I kind of don't consume much of it on my own, but Seth Godin is someone who it's probably the only, like, cat it's, well, it's an, it, but it's an audio book. It's the only thing I've recommended to anybody ever, and anyone that knows me who's listening, I consistently recommend it. It's called The Dip. And Seth Godin says, if, like, the reason that a LeBron James gets paid so much, right? The reason that a Johnny Depp gets paid so much, it's because they are the best in the world at what they do. So if you're the best in the world at what you do, you get paid a rate. It's not about, like, if someone else could figure it out. You're that good, and so that's what you charge. It's based on your experience and your skill.
Exactly. I could do a task that takes, 10 minutes for me to do, but you're not paying for that 10 minutes. You're paying for all the mess-ups, that I've done. And I've messed up people's credit. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I first started out, 15 years ago, I've messed up people's credit where it's very hard to reverse. And if you go to, like, a bad credit company you do it yourself – You're just going to get locked in. And what the credit bureaus, they do, they verify these accounts. And there's not much you can do about it because they're verified. There's smaller bureaus like CoreLogic, LexisNexis, ARS, SageStream, that the credit bureaus don't go ask the original creditors what's going on. That's going to take way too much time. So what they do is they hire, you know, these smaller companies to verify these debts. And if you don't freeze out those smaller companies, you're stuck. You're going to look at 1 year to fix your credit.
Oh, so that's why it, I didn't. Yeah, because I dealt with I once worked with what's it called? Lexington Law. Is that it?
Yeah, Lexington Law.
I mean, they didn't really do a great job, and it lasted 6 or 9 months.
They're not going to do a good job, because what they do, Lexington Law does, is they'll send out templates.
Yep.
And you could see like plagiarism. So yep. Like if you post up a website that is plagiarized, it's going to go on the bottom of Google's results. And this is simple software. If you're doing like a website, there's a company called Copyscape, which checks for plagiarism. So these credit companies, credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, they have the same kind of system, which is not even difficult to do. And then they look for the same kind of writing within these templates.
Pattern of words, yeah. Probably.
And once they see that, once they see that you are sending out and like a template, what they do is they'll send out your paperwork back, and they'll mark it as frivolous. And then what they also do is they'll flag your account that, hey, this guy's using these templates, or he's using a credit fixing company. Let's give him a hard time, because this is not a legitimate thing that they're sending us. The credit bureaus do not want people to use these templates and everything else. They want general concerns to be listened to, because those people are not lazy that are taking on those general concerns. Those people are the people that are going to sue the credit bureaus. They're going to sue the collection companies. They're going to sue all these people. It's really like, it's really bothersome, actually, if you think about it, what's going on with, you know, society these days within hospitals itself. A hospital will take your, you know, you'll go in. Let's say you have like herpes. Let's say you have herpes and you go into the hospital.
Okay. Yep.
You don't pay this medical bill. They will take that medical information and violate your HIPAA rights and sell it to a collection company.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize, you know, you and I have talked about the hospital. I didn't realize that was the reason. So then would in a situation like that, do you work with HIPAA to verify that
HIPAA is an organization that is protecting your rights. I will
your medical privacy.
Yeah, I'll go against the hospital themselves. I'll go against the collection company, and I'll go against the bureaus.
But I'm saying, does HIPAA become an ally for you, or you just do it on your own?
No. I just use HIPAA, like the HIPAA rights that people have in favor to them is like, I send a letter to the hospital, you know, a lawsuit to the hospital saying, hey, when did this person release their HIPAA rights to the collection company? I send one to the collection company itself. It's like, when did this person release their rights? And I send them to the credit bureaus. How are you storing this information?
God, that's crazy. And
I'll attack all three of them in one day, and I'll send those letters out. And those are generated letters, not on templates, generated, just written up. And that's how I'm so effective in this process.
Do you use a software that changes, like, what's it called? I used to use it back in the day with Instagram, where you write a paragraph and then it gives you like five different options for the same paragraph.
You're talking about the best software, which is Word AI. It's called Article Spinning.
Yes, Article Spinning.
Article Spinning, and no, I do not.
Oh.
I haven't written it straight up.
Got it. That's crazy that but are people signing a document when they sign all, you know, we sign a bunch of paperwork. By the way, like when you're at the hospital, depending on what it is, let's say you go and it's like crazy and you sign a bunch of paperwork and you're in panic, you're also probably not reading the fine lines. But are there fine lines that say, if you don't pay, we will give your information to a credit bureau or to a collections agency?
I do not believe so. I don't know 100%. That expression that you're saying, that you don't know what the heck's going on, is called the capacity contract. Essentially, you can't have somebody that is like mentally challenged. I don't know if that's the word, proper word. Or you can't have somebody right. like you can't walk into a dealership
in crisis.
You can't have somebody walk into a dealership that's completely drunk, have them sign paperwork for, you know, a car, and they didn't have the capacity to know what's going on. That's the same thing as, like, you know, taking advantage of a girl or a guy that's drunk that doesn't know that they're engaging in the sex. Same thing. You can't right. engage into that. You can't consent if you're like drunk and you're messed up. And hospitals do deal with that. It happens a lot in nightclubs, actually, believe it or not. Like, a nightclub will ask you to sign that, like, bottle service agreement 3 or 4 times.
I used to work in that business.
So, I mean, it's all questionable at the end. But, you know, the job of the hospital is sell this debt to the highest bidder. It doesn't matter that we're affecting their HIPAA rights because nobody knows to complain about it. Nobody even knows what the heck HIPAA is.
Right. I do because I was young and stupid, and we were trying to we were taking pictures in a hospital once when we were younger and got caught, and they explained to us what HIPAA was because they definitely don't like you taking pictures in waiting rooms of the ER.
Well, I mean, on top of that is you don't even owe the collection companies any money.
Right.
I mean, if I borrow 10 grand from you, I don't pay you. You send me to a collection company. I have no agreement or contract with that collection company. I don't owe them a dime.
Right. But are we signing something when we sign up with, like, let's say you signed up with me. I'm a bad example. Let's say T-Mobile, right?
No, you're fine.
You don't sign anything that's saying, if I don't pay you, then you guys are going to, and it ends up going to collections, I'm responsible. They can't, right? Because it's not them that I'm paying.
Actually, they can. It's called a transferability clause.
Oh, okay. So are more and more companies doing that?
They go on with school loans. School loans, they have a transfer clause that if they try to sell the debt, there's a transfer clause. But the terms of that transfer cannot change one bit. If, let's say you get a school loan for, let's say, $100,000.
Okay.
Now, if your agreement is 3% on that school loan, let's say even say 10%. If it ever goes up to 10.1%, or there's an extra penny added, one penny, that contract is not valid. That contract with them is not valid. It's the same concept that if you borrow 10 grand from me and I send you to a collection company, which a collection company is somebody that's going to beat you up, you never agreed to be beat up. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wait, I just thought of a good one, and I don't know. Just because I'm fascinated, is, have you ever fucked with, like, the parking bureau?
I don't like to mess with the parking bureau, no.
You don't?
No. You don't mess with City Hall.
Interesting. Well, I mean, but some of these companies are massive, are corporations that have more money. So that's why I was asking.
I mean, you don't owe a collection company anyways because you don't have no contract with them. We're talking about just a transferability clause of mainly
student loans. Yeah, but if you get parking, let's say you don't pay parking tickets. They go to collections, right?
Yeah.
And let's say you have you don't show up to court and you get a bench warrant. It still ends up going to a collection agency. And then that price goes way up from the price of the ticket. So isn't that basically what you're talking about?
I mean, you could go to traffic violations, which you explained is there's a company called GC Services.
Yeah, exactly.
So GC Services, what they do is this. They put you into a collections, and then if you want to go back and get a court date, they set that court date 3 months in advance.
Yep.
They do that, but it's like, hey, we'll give you the opportunity to go back to court. So
they also remove your bench warrant in that time, and that's why people
you can quash your bench warrant the same day. Oh, but okay. You can't go to court for that matter, and your license will be suspended until you take care of it.
Right.
Unless and you live out of state.
Got it. But why is that, like, but why does that cost get to go up? Is that because GC Services is a collections agency that's within the DMV or in court, the city hall? It's like,
I mean, that cost actually doesn't go up.
Oh, I thought it did.
I mean, look, I could tell you owe me $1 million. Doesn't make it true.
Right.
So that cost only goes up when you pay it.
So if you tell them you're not going to pay it, though, then they're not going to...
Then they'll hold off your license. You have that choice. Yeah. They hold off your license until you have that 3 months. You go into a situation, what is... If you live in another state and you could prove that you live in another state, for example, you take care of your parents, like your parents live in Washington. We live in California and they live in another state. You bring over your bill, say, hey, I need to go see the judge today. I live in another state. They can't hold you from seeing the judge.
Got it.
And you could take care of that on the same day.
Got it.
I actually dealt with an attorney that was trying to charge one of my friends like $1,250 for a case to go see the summons and whatever else. And it was shocking how stupid this attorney was, because attorneys are just people that, you know, they're normal people. And it's actually funny because I'm doing a lot of attorneys like student loans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I had to explain to him how to get into court.
And that's because they don't understand. They know that's why there's specific lawyers for specific things, right? It's like that's their specialty. And if they don't know the other thing, because I have a friend who's a partner at Quinn Emanuel, which is like one of the top firms in the U.S. They represented Samsung and protected them against Apple. Or they only had to pay $100 million instead of like $4 billion when they got sued by Apple. And he was saying, I asked him something about property law. Couldn't tell me. No idea. So it's kind of like that, right? Like, it's like they don't – why would they know about credit? Anything to do with it or the laws?
Well, I mean, if I'm telling you that, hey, if you get a student loan from Nelnet – and it gets transferred, that's just the basics of law, which is called privity of contract. They have no rights to that agreement. That's the first thing you learn in contract law. First thing.
So why wouldn't they know that?
Well, you think a law school is going to explain of how not to pay your student loans when you don't actually owe them?
Right. Of course not.
You're crazy.
Of course not. So you know what's crazy to me? Is that you can, at 18 years old, you can get a student loan, but you probably couldn't get a loan on a house. And if you got a loan on a house, I would assume you had a job, and you still probably couldn't get a loan on a house, but you have actually means of income where you could be paying it off. And then for school, you don't. What's that about?
I mean, a better understanding is somebody could get a $200,000 student loan, but they can't get a $1,000 credit card.
Right. Which is absolutely mind blowing, and it shows you that college is a business.
100% college is a business. What do you think? They're there. You think they're paying the professors to teach people?
No, they're totally a business.
Of course, they're a business, and it's the same thing as the GC services, that they set your court date 3 months in advance, and you can't go and get a court date. It's because they know how to corner you. Student loans aren't supposed to be removed off your credit at any time. You can remove student loans. You could be like 110 years old. They won't remove out your student. You could have that thing on there for 80 years.
Has anyone tried to disrupt that in some way?
Disrupt the fact of student loans?
Yeah, like the fact that some kind of way to actually I guess there's nothing you can do. Either you pay it or you don't, right?
Well, what happens is you get it off your credit, and then you have the leverage is gone. Because the main thing in this world is leverage.
Right.
It's what leverage you have to do what you need to. Nobody's going to pay anything if they have no leverage. If it's not on your credit, they have no leverage at that point. So they'll try to garnish your wages. They'll they'll try to summon you to like a lawsuit. You don't show up, and then you get charged. You know, you have this judgment against you.
Right.
And 50% of the people that like have these judgments do not show up.
And then they get their they put liens on bank accounts.
They empty out your bank account. I could go to court right now and put a judgment against you, Noah, for $10,000.
Right.
I'll send it to an address that is like one of your older addresses.
Yep.
And You won't show up to court. I have a judgment. Then I go research your bank accounts, and I go pull ten. I pull the 10 grand out of that bank account. Nothing you could do about it.
So then I could do the exact same thing to the guy I told you about, the apartment broker who stole my money.
You can, if you have a contract, you just send him to court. Yeah.
Got it. Wow, that's crazy.
You have a collection company actually do it.
Oh, so I would. Interesting.
What you do is you run a LexisNexis on the person. You have the collection company actually do it. They find out social, all this information. Then you put a collection on them for that amount.
Interesting.
You should be like, you should make sure he doesn't know me, because I'd have to remove the collection. But you can do that.
Well, I hope you don't know this guy, but that's a good idea. I think that's, I'm actually going to do that, because it's like, I think it was like 10 grand. I don't remember the exact amount.
If you really want to mess them up, have the collection company do 20 $500 collections.
Oh, 100%. And then if he doesn't pay the collections company, then I could essentially get a lien.
Well, what happens is you take him to court for the 10. You can't do 10 because small claims court does 10. So let's say you give him a discount of 5%, $9,500, take him to court, send it to his address. He doesn't show up to court. You get a judgment. You take that judgment, then you put it against his bank account, pull the money out.
Got it.
Completely legal, by the way.
Got it. Is there a time frame that that if I don't do it, it's not valid?
I believe the statute of limitations is 2 years. Don't quote me on it. I'm not sure. A year or 2 years. So I don't know when he owed you that money. But if you send him more money, if you send him another 10 bucks, he accepts it and cashes it, you pretty much have him.
Got it. Interesting.
Because that will go through the whole statute of limitations. Or it'll go to a situation that you could extend the statute of limitations. What it's called is a good faith lunch. And collection companies use this whenever they almost hit 2 years. And they say, hey, you know what? Just, you know, like, I'm trying to work with you and everything else. Just give me 10 bucks. Just give me 10 bucks and, you know, we'll worry about the rest later. That's when they reopen the statute of limitations.
Interesting. So this guy actually, there was, you know, he got his, as a result of this happening, because he did it to like 10 other people, he got his real estate license revoked. So there's like, there's already, and people file police reports. So there's already like legal criminal accusations against him.
I mean, I would try to find out what's going on with the guy and just try talking, reason with him.
Yeah. I did that. It didn't work. This is his move. It's his thing. I think he's been doing it for 10 years now.
So he's a veteran. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't. He started doing it in Florida. And then I found out by whatever. I'm not going to get into it. Anyways, so at this point in your life, are there other avenues? Like, do you have other businesses that you do? Don't you do? Oh, I'm not going to get into that. But you do have other businesses, right?
At this point, I've been focusing on fixing credit. I used to be, I'm an expert in Airbnb. And, you know, there's so much stuff to follow through with this. I used to do ticketing events as well. Right now, I'm just focusing on just my bread and butter.
Were you involved in entertainment at all? Or no?
I used to go to a lot of events. I'm friends with a lot of people in PR.
I knew it. When I looked at your before, because I don't think you care that I've been doing some stuff for you for Instagram, but right?
No.
But when I looked at it first, I was like, I would be willing to bet that he either dated or was close to a publicist. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, mainly I was inside the entertainment world as my contacts with, you know, PR people and everything else. And I used to barter tickets, actually, and find out what events they wanted. And then I would just contact the other people. And then I said, hey, I have this. I would get like a what event do you want to go to? They're like, oh, I want to go to this event. I go, okay, and you're willing to trade for what? And then I used to just connect all these people all together and just keep connecting them and just get an extra two tickets for me.
So you are definitely you're an actual entrepreneur. You're like a real entrepreneur. Like a real, like, right? I mean, basically.
I guess you could put me in a hustling category or entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, you like arbitrage, which I do too.
Mainly, yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's just like, if you could, you just have to figure out the path you need to take. You can solve any problem. It's just not one, like, path. But I am an individual that there's a, you know, if I'm arguing with a person and they're getting upset with us, I say, hey, listen. What would make you happy inside this situation? And what would make me happy as well? And then how can we reach a compromise? Because that's what life is about.
Totally. Totally. But you're like, I feel like, I mean, I don't know you well. We got introduced, by the way, everyone who's listening. We got introduced through a mutual friend. And we haven't even met, but we talk all the time now. And I would imagine just from what it seems like, you're like, you know, people who have like a guy, like there's the guy that they call for this, this, and this. You're kind of like the guy, right? Like for your friends, I'm sure that's kind of how they think of you.
I do get that spec. Hey, if you really have this problem, Sean will help you to solve it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like just like that's kind of your thing.
I mean, I'm great at awesome. Like, you know, I recently went to Vegas and my one of my buddies got his Rolex stolen. It was like, you know, 40 grand watch. And this is last week actually. And what happened is like, you know, I was sleeping and he's like, Sean, my Rolex is missing. I'm like, okay, buddy. Like, can I just deal with this when I wake up, please? And he's like freaking out. He's like freaking out. Like he doesn't know what to do. He's like, I lost my 40. I'm like, hey man, I'm not going to get your Rolex back if you don't let me go back to sleep. Right. So he's like, okay, fine. When you wake up, please take care of this. So I wake up and I'm like, okay, man, what's the deal? This girl took your Rolex. No problem. Give me your number. You know, I'll have your watch back by the end of the day. So I reach out to this girl. I go, listen, I'm going to get in touch with the strip club that you work at. And I'm going to get in touch with Las Vegas PD. You're going to be doing 5 years. You want to return the watch or do you want to go to jail? What option would you like to take? She sends me back a message that says, I didn't steal the watch. My girlfriend did. I have nothing to do with this. I go, your acknowledgement that this watch is missing is an accessory to grand theft. You're just as guilty in Nevada law.
How quickly did you get the watch back?
She returned that watch within an hour because it was like a scenario. It was like, hey, you know, you're going to jail. My case is not going to jail. So, like, you know, she returned the watch back in an hour. And then it was a scenario. I was like, hey, man, so, you know, you could hit up this girl and get something out of her. He goes, what do you mean? I go, listen, by the way, you're never complete. So I had a situation that happened with a hotel that I was staying at. And I was fully comped out, which I normally get all these comps and everything else through my understanding of points. But they try to charge me for my resort fees, like $40 a night. And they're supposed to be waived out. If you're completely comped, you don't pay resort fees. So right. What happened is they had these resort fees on my bill. I called downstairs and I'm like, listen, there's these resort fees. Can you remove them, please? 25 minutes I'm on the phone to remove out $150 of resort fees.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they finally remove them. Then I'm like, okay, what are you willing to offer me? They're like, sir, we removed the resort fees. I go, no, what happened is you took 25 minutes out of my life to do the right thing on my vacation. I don't work for free. They're like, well, would you like a $50 credit? I'm like, how about I take up 30 minutes of your time for a $50 credit? How do we feel about that?
Dude, you're kind of like a... You're like the people's lawyer.
I think I should go for my law degree because one of my buddies was telling
me. You really should.
I would start charging an arm and leg. All right, getting back to this stripper. So I tell my friend, I say, hey, listen, you know, you can't just, you know, she wasted your time. You had to hire me as your friend. to take care of this for you. You know I'm going to want like something out of this. You know I'm going to want dinner, at least for getting back your 40 grand watch. He goes, right. What do you want me to ask her? I go, just, you know, ask her that, you know, take care of you. Like, you know, take care of you for whatever, you know, you were trying to like take care of her, you know, just take care of you. He goes, well, I can't ask that. That'd be like, you know, some kind of weird, like law, whatever else. But like solicitation. I'm like, listen, just tell her that you, she's stressed you out and she's coming to the, like the hotel room to de-stress you.
For like a massage.
Yeah. For a massage.
And did she?
She actually was too afraid to come because I'm apparently psycho.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you realize that, hey, if a company has wronged you, like if you go to the hotel, you have a bad stay.
Right.
And they comp out that stay. You're not at 100%. You need another stay to come back to that hotel to rectify the situation.
Do you find do you do that with like with big companies?
I do it with whatever situation I can. I mean,
yeah,
I don't like to be wronged in any way. I don't like my time taken out. If you're going to pay me what I'm owed, but you're going to take up my time, you owe me for my time.
Absolutely. And I think people, they think like, you know, I think a lot of times people think, oh, that's, come on, man, that's ridiculous. But it's like, that's ridiculous to people that don't understand their worth.
Exactly. I had a situation happen where this girl went inside my phone and she stole $1,500. Same weekend, by the way, last weekend. She stole $1,500 out of my Apple Pay. It was kind of genius. I got really turned on that she did it. But she went.
How did she do it?
She went inside my phone and she was like, hey, let me save my number. And I was like, okay. And then she's like, oh, it's asking for your password. I'm like, okay, so I put my password in. Then she deletes.
Oh,
then she sends herself $1,500,
and then deletes the
text. Yeah. And then I'm going back to, you know, this Spearman Rhino security, and I'm inside like.
But you didn't have to double click and do your face.
No, I don't do the face ID.
Oh my God, she's. I mean, everyone, most people do with payment.
Well, I mean, it was just a scenario. It was like, you know, I wasn't. I don't do the face ID because it's like I feel like somebody's gonna just go inside my face and. Get inside my phone. I mean, I have to keep my phone very protected, but so she did. She took the $1,500 and then I'm back at like the Spearman Rhino security. You know, I sent her the same message. I was like, listen, I played off really cool. I'm like, hey, you know, you didn't need to do that. I've sent you the money. She's like, oh, I just did it for fun, etc. I'm back at the like security of the Spearman Rhino and they're like, sir, okay, well, we'll deal with the situation. They hand me $1,500. I'm like, okay, so what am I getting for my time and all this energy? They're like, you're getting money back from a girl and you want more? I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely.
Why does it matter who it is? She stole from you.
She stole from me. Exactly. I'm not putting her in jail. But maybe I'm just like the sick person in this world. But at the end of the day is, you know, if you're wronged in any way inside your life and you're rectified, you should get some compensation for your time. That's why, like, you know, whenever I fix people's credit now, it's not just a scenario of, like, you know, these collection companies or these hospitals, everything else. Like, let's go after the hospital for these wrongdoings.
Right. Right.
And right. The hospitals will pay out. They don't want another HIPAA violation. They don't want to spend, like, HIPAA violations go all the way up to 50 grand if you're into so many offenses.
Right.
So the way they see it is they don't see it as this 50 grand. They say, hey, even if we're at this previous step, they don't want this $1,000 that this person is asking for to pretty much get them to this point where they can't, you know, they have to pay the next one. They have to pay out 50 grand. They're like, here's $1,000 to shut them up. So I've had people that have like a whole bunch of collections and everything else that have got paid because they have these collections that were sent to like, you know, the collection company, excuse me. They went to the hospital and they had collections sent out there. They're getting paid because they've been wrong.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'll give you a quick scenario and I want to see how you would handle it on the spot. Guy dates a girl. They break up. Girl keeps $65,000 worth of his stuff. Doesn't give it back. What would you do?
It depends. Did he give her access to the 65K?
It was his stuff. He moved into her place and was living there for a little bit.
Did he leave the stuff more than 30 days?
Yes.
He just left it there for 30 days?
No, no. They broke up and he kept asking for it back. She didn't give it to him.
He would have to not alarm her that he's coming by and just come with the police. Grab his belongings. Would.
That's what you got it. Interesting. Never thought about that.
I mean, the police are there to protect and serve.
Yeah, but they don't. Like with this scammer that I dealt with, they didn't even want to. I tried to file a police report and they said, well, it's not. And then I spoke to here and they said, it's embezzlement. Of course, they need to file a police report.
But it's civil. That's the only problem.
Right. So is a relationship, though, right? Or when you're stuffed somewhere.
It's civil, but that's a domestic situation. So they will step in a domestic situation because of the fact that, you know, if somebody's not getting back their 65 grand, there's a good high possibility that that guy is going to assault her.
Interesting. So they want to prevent that, but like. But it's also hearsay. Like, I'm not lying. I could be lying, right? And say, hey, my ex-girlfriend kept all this stuff. She won't give it back. What do I do?
That's when you ask what's called compound questions, which is what the police ask all the time. They ask you, is this your car? Do you mind if we search it? That's called a compound question. So the police will go in and they will ask, is this stuff inside here? And do you mind if he goes in and grabs it?
Oh, shit. Interesting.
Or if you want to be sneaky and there's 65 grand in there, that's yours, it's kind of a gray area. You're going to get a trespassing charge, but you have 65 grand in there. I mean, I don't have to say it, but you already know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your stuff. Yeah. I don't know what the heck you're stealing, except breaking right. entry.
Right.
And chances are that girl's not going to want to go into, press charges because he would have to, you know, she would have to admit that that's his property and she stole it, even though, so that's not really receiving stolen property. So the case would be thrown out.
Right. Interesting. Good to know.
She doesn't want those charges of, like, you know, stealing his stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I just wanted to see how you'd handle it on the spot.
My mind is a lot of my friends call me Woody.
Yeah, for sure. One more question, just because I'm curious. So you've seen Gary Vee a lot, right?
I have.
You said, or a few times. What are you into him? What's he like when you've seen him?
He's a very intelligent man. I mean, he has the attitude that. You know, if you're not hungry, you're not going to succeed.
Right.
Which, I mean, I saw a meme that said, a crackhead gets crack every day. And it's true. Uh-huh. That crackhead goes out. He's broke. He's not broke. He has money. He's living in a house. He's addicted to crack. Nothing is going to stop him from getting that crack. So,
yeah,
I don't know what the heck somebody's excuse is into not making money.
But here's the thing, and I can speak from being, I was addicted to heroin and opiate pills, but like, I use this scenario a lot. Like, I didn't have a license, I didn't have a car, I didn't have money, but somehow I could get downtown and get drugs, yeah. Right? So my whole thing is, but here's the thing: when you're on drugs, you're willing to go to any length. So our morals, mine went out the window. So I was willing to do whatever it took to get what I wanted. And I think so, like when you see a like that meme, it's like, yeah, but like if you really think about it, they're not getting paid. They're not making money to get what they need, like legally, most of them.
It doesn't matter. That drive was still inside you to get inside that car no matter what to go get that heroin.
Yeah, I get the point. Like, and people use it a lot in sobriety, friends of mine. It's like you were willing to go to any length to get what you wanted, but then you're sober and you don't know how to make money.
I mean, I don't know what the hell somebody's excuse is. People tell me, oh, I have a job. I'm like, you heard of Uber?
Right.
You become an Uber driver. What is your excuse? Like, what is somebody's excuse for not having a job?
Ego.
That's all it is.
A lot of times, it's just fucking ego, man. Like, people don't want to do the job. That like they could do because of their ego.
This is why I admire the homeless.
Totally.
they're willing to go out there and beg for money. And you want to hear the crazy thing is? A lot of them make over 80 grand a year.
Come on.
Yeah.
I know they make money, but statistically, like, really that much?
You're telling me on a busy day, getting $1, $5, 10 bucks from ongoing traffic.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. I mean, yeah, but that's it's humility. It's like anything. And
what humility? Seriously, what humility do you have?
Well, but sometimes desperation can get someone humble real fast too. But then there's the people who are desperate and still won't be humble and won't do whatever it takes.
I mean, what's more humiliating? Somebody that steals from their family to get money, or somebody that goes out there and pretends to be a homeless person?
Somebody that steals from their family.
Exactly. And one thing about homelessness also, which I never understood, which people's like, oh, praise the homeless, praise that. I'm not getting into touchy subject with everything else, but every single homeless person has made every single one of their family members and friends cut them off, and that's why they're in that situation.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So that's why I honestly, you could talk about vets. We're talking about vets, I understand. They're crazy, whatever else. They didn't get the care inside their head, and, you know, they're too much to handle. But these young, like, you know, under 40-year-olds and everything else, that they're homeless and they're, like, begging for money, like, no. You're a shitty person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. I my whole thing is usually, like, if I see a homeless person and they ask me for something and I have it, I give it to them. Because I just – my philosophy is, like, if someone asks something from me, they want my – they ask something. My job isn't to say – oh, well, he's going to go get drunk. If that makes him happy and that fulfills him and I have the opportunity and I can do that, I'm going
to
do it.
What the hell are you talking about? I mean, this goes back to the same philosophy as when you're on a plane, you've been on a plane, they say, put your oxygen mask on and then help others. Why should that person get your hard-earned money?
Put your... help. Why? What do you mean? Put it. Why on. Wouldn't you help someone?
They say, put your oxygen mask on and then help others.
Uh-huh.
You should be helping yourself. Why should that homeless person get your hard-earned money when you work hard for it? Because you feel sorry for them?
No, no. It's not about that. It's about, I believe that, and maybe it's a sober thing, but for me, in order for me to get sober, there were people that helped me. And I believe that if somebody asks for something and I can give it to them, right? I'm going to give it to him.
The only reason you got sober is because of you. That is the only reason.
And I couldn't have done it on my own. Not the first 90 days.
You could have done it on your own, but you're the only person that did it. You could have just still been, you know, you're the only person that did it. There's no, I mean, yes, people helped and everything else, but it was your choice at the end.
I think if you have a philosophy of giving without expectation, then why not give when someone asks for it?
Because you end up broke?
I'm not saying I'm going to give you, but that's what I'm saying. If I can, right? If someone asks me, a homeless guy asks me for a dollar and I can afford to give the person a dollar, then I'm going to give it to him. If I can't, I'm not. But like, if you can, then why not?
Well, we get off this call. I know you have $100. So I'm going to ask you to send it to me.
Okay.
Are you going to just send me $100 for no reason?
Do you need it?
But I always need money. Sure.
Do you need it?
Like, am I not going to survive off of it?
Yeah.
No, of course not. I have plenty of $100 bills. But I'm just saying.
That's my point. So if someone needs it and I don't, I can spare it. Why wouldn't I give it?
Because they don't actually need it. You're enabling them.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, you're out there and it's cold at night, like, especially women, mothers getting, imagine like a woman gets her period and she's living on the streets. Also far less safe for a woman. And she's living on the streets and asks for something. I'm going to say yes.
I mean, I don't know about that subject. I mean,
it fulfills. And here's the thing. It's not selfless. It fulfills me. I feel good when someone asks me for something and I give it to them. And they need it and I can help them.
If you're trying to help out people.
It doesn't have to be monetary. It could be anything.
I mean, maybe you could just get that lady to like co-sign on a car or something like that. The homeless people have good credit. They've been homeless for 7 years.
Well, they have no credit, which is easily. Yeah, exactly. I always thought it would be genius because, especially by the beach, there's some like, if you can see past like the fucking 10 years of muck, there's some really good looking. You can tell there's people that were really good looking when they were younger, or even just when they, if they got cleaned up. What? You there?
We're deterring you a little bit from conversation. At the end of the day.
Yeah, but have you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I always thought it would be like you start an agency where you clean up homeless people and have them become models, and the press would just eat it up.
Like Kanye West's line?
Is that what he's doing?
No, he's not. But the clothes that he has, looks like homeless people.
Oh, yeah, basically.
This is an interesting first podcast I've ever been on in my life.
Is it the first?
This is my first podcast.
We're going to wrap it up now anyways, but like the point of this show, actually, it's called No Front. So like, it actually is a perfect episode.
What is, you know what I mean? I just got sucked into this. You said get in the podcast, but I mean, I'm enjoying myself talking to you.
Yeah. The show's about, you know, I think we live in a society and a culture where everyone's fronting. And the idea of the show is like, no fronts. It's a philosophy that I've kind of worked on, and I halfway through writing a book called No Fronts. And the subcaption, by the way, is actually, this is either cutting edge and genius, or I'm a total fucking idiot. But the idea is like, there's a lot of things you can do in life if you just don't front. And I noticed that, like, if people were a little bit more real, especially on social media, they would actually get the things they wanted, but they put so much investment of their time and energy into creating a front that they're failing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like whenever I took my friend's 40 grand, like I got it back. I was like, listen, I'm just staying for the next 24 hours. I'm wearing your watch. And for the next 24 hours, I had that watch on, which actually made it really good because we had a story going on. And on top of it, it was like a situation that like the girls were like, wow, that's a nice watch. I'm like, it's not mine. And it established trust at that point because it's like your friend trusts you with a 40 grand watch. I could trust you as well.
Absolutely.
So I used that whole thing into, hey, you could trust me with your credit. My friend trusts me with the 40 grand watch.
Right. Trust is everything. I just think, but that goes back to fucking business. It's like, dude, if people weren't fronting and they were really honest, you would earn a lot. It's how I built my business. You would earn people's trust really, really quickly, as opposed to showing fake screenshots of like deposit. Dude, you don't know how many of these like social media marketing guys, gurus are literally showing fake screenshots of Shopify accounts that aren't even theirs.